You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 48 for December 10th, 2012.
Welcome to the podcast, where we talk about all kinds of different running topics, from A to Z, marathons to recovery.
Yeah, recovery today.
That's a good way to put it, I guess. What are we talking about today?
A lot of random things.
Random things. So we're actually going to start the show with kind of the randomness first, and then I think we'll talk a little bit about our short week in training,
I guess you could say,
as we are in our marathon.
So we're changing things up here.
Recovery. So changing things up. So I guess we're going to start off with kind of old business, what I forgot to mention about CIM. So we ran California International Marathon a week ago. CIM, as everybody refers to it. Yeah. Actually, when anybody says California International Marathon, sounds really weird.
It's like, oh, what race is that? That's what I think. I'm like, oh, is there another marathon?
It's a new race I never heard about. The one thing I wanted to mention was at the expo, they do have a speaker like clinic thing going on during the expo from all day Friday and all day Saturday.
Yeah, both days.
And it's kind of cool because it's in a totally separate room from the expo where you do packet pickup and had kind of all the gear and stuff for sale. So separate room, and they have speakers all day long, from recovery topics to injury topics. At one point, they bring up all the pacers, and
right,
you get to meet them.
The pace leaders.
Yeah, but it's a very nice room, kind of totally separate.
Very big room.
Very big room. So it's quiet, and you can pay attention and be as dedicated to listening to the topics as you want to be. But I just want to mention that because that's one cool thing at CIM that they do have.
I like that it's split up, where I know we've been to R&R expos before, where they do have speakers, but it tends to be kind of in the same room, just kind of off to one side. So I like the fact that this is in a totally separate room.
Yeah, because you don't have people kind of randomly just coming and going constantly. It's more people that kind of want to sit down and listen to it. So
yeah.
The other thing I was going to mention, it was kind of funny. I was reading an article about CIM in one of the local papers in Sacramento about the race, and they were talking about basically all the garbage after the race, kind of. There were so many people were wearing trash bags and ponchos for a lot of the race, but kind of everybody ended up ditching it at some point in time.
Yeah.
So the race course had a lot more garbage than you would normally have. I mean, normally you have kind of like goo all over the place, but not garbage bags and ponchos. And a lot of garbage bags. Yeah. So I guess a lot of volunteers kind of had to go up and down and drive the course basically to pick up all this garbage. And they did encourage people, local people, that if you did spot kind of garbage out there, to call the, I don't know if it was like the race phone number or the race director's phone number, and they would send somebody out there to kind of clean it up. So kind of much more of a cleanup than normal. Like I said, you normally get the goo packets everywhere, and the cups they clean up at the aid stations, but I'm sure these bags kind of blew everywhere and flew everywhere, kind of thing.
Yeah, I was just thinking, a lot of people had, like you said, the garbage bags or the ponchos. I didn't really see hardly anybody, if at all, getting rid of clothes,
right?
Which is kind of the usual thing. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if they even had, because usually they'll pick that up and like donate it
to charity.
I guess donations were like almost nothing this time around.
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, because I didn't see any clothes thrown on the side.
Yeah, I saw a pair of gloves, and that was like it.
Yeah, but I think everybody kept everything on. It was so windy and cold and everything. So, what else did I want to mention? We mentioned last week that Rock and Roll Vegas was the same day as CIM. Neither one of us had kind of a chance to look up how the race went. We kind of said, we think it went okay. I did have a chance this week to kind of go through a bunch of blogs that I follow and read a bunch of race reports. And everybody kind of said the race went off without a hitch, went very well, no problems.
So they redeemed themselves from,
I mean, from
what everybody's saying compared to last year.
Yeah, nobody got sick.
Good.
The course, everybody liked the course much better.
Was it different than last year?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, they redid a lot of things, including the start and kind of what direction you actually go out of the start and then where you finish. Because last year was Mandalay Bay.
Yeah.
It was kind of a mess. This year it kind of finished down on the strip down by the Mirage.
So kind of a bigger, more open area.
Yeah, because you can kind of, I think the idea was people can kind of dump out into several hotels in kind of several directions.
Versus everybody in Mandalay Bay and then trying to
get out of Mandalay Bay. Because Mandalay Bay is kind of by itself too at the end of the strip. So, but that went well. So I was actually looking up some stuff about R&R Vegas. They do have, and this is stuff that I knew from before, but they do have a full and they do a half. But the full, the cutoff time is 4.5 hours.
Which is pretty fast.
Which is, I mean,
I think that's pretty fast.
Nowhere in the near future would I be able to run 4.5. So, doing the full for me is kind of out of the question. But it's one of the few Rock and Roll full marathons that has such a small cutoff window.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to do it, keep that in mind that it's only a 4.5 hour cutoff. So you got to get in there by then.
No pressure.
No pressure. you know, Vegas is, you know, they do advertise it as the strip at night. So this is an evening race. Although, you know, it's kind of funny. You look at the pictures, the race, I think, starts around four. I don't know if it's like three something or for the full and then four.
It's close to four. I can't remember exactly the exact time, but it's close to four.
So it's somewhere in there. You know, you're starting at daylight. You're not really running the entire course at night. Mm-hmm. So just something to kind of remember. I mean, you are going to finish in darkness.
Unless you're a really fast half marathoner and it actually starts at four. If you're done like an hour 30, that's a little bit of
pretty sure just a smidge of darkness. It'll at least be dusk, I guess we could say. So. Yeah, so that's kind of stuff that I kind of had to refresh myself as I was even thinking about maybe if that's a race that we wanted to do in 2013. Now, speaking of rock and roll, they're actually, depending on when you listen to this, if you listen to this in time, they're doing a special deal on 12-12-12, which is going to be Wednesday.
But isn't that when the world's going to end?
Is that when it is?
That's why they're doing a special.
Because nobody's going to get it. So they're doing a special, $20 off almost all of the races. So that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, that is.
I was gonna say not bad.
$20, that's pretty good.
For
$20 off.
Yeah, you see a lot of discounts for R&R that are $10, or we see a lot of it's like their Lucky 13 discount.
$13 off on the 13th of the month.
$20 off is a pretty good one. They're also gonna announce on 12-12-12 the date for the 2013 Rock and Roll Las Vegas. Although I can tell you in advance it's November 17th.
Right.
And I only know that because they put it up on their website this morning and then took it back down. And technically, if you go to one page on the website, it's still up there. So unless they screwed up on the date or something, it's going to be November 17th. So actually, it's going to be 2 weeks earlier next year.
I wonder why they moved it.
No idea.
Yeah, just curious.
Yeah, the interesting thing for us is, you know, in the past, we'd actually looked at doing that race. But it was the same weekend. For the last 2 years, it's been the same weekend as CIM.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of... You know, you really wanted to do CIM, so mm-hmm. that took rock and roll out of it. But now it's going to be 2 weeks before or maybe even 3 weeks before CIM because we don't even actually know the date for CIM for 2013 because I think the first December 1st, it's normally the first Sunday in December.
Yeah.
But next year, the first Sunday is actually December 1st, so I don't know if they're going to bump it back a week or not. Some people have told me that they're going to bump it back a week, and some people have told me they're not, so I'm not really sure on that, but... we should note, if you want to do Rock and Roll San Francisco, that $20 discount is only going to apply to the first 1,000 people that register mm-hmm. on 12-12. And I think for Vegas, it's only going to apply to the first 5,000 that register
right.
on 12-12. So if you're interested in doing one of those two races, you might want to jump on it on Wednesday on 12-12 if you get this in time.
Hopefully
otherwise, bummer, you just missed a $20 discount. Sorry about that.
Wait for the 13th.
The 13th, yeah, maybe they'll do a Lucky 13.
Lucky 13.
Discount, but you know, you always save a ton of money, I guess, when you register for these things a year in advance, basically. Although it's really tough to know what you're going to be doing a year from now.
Right. You're basically just committing yourself to something that far out.
Yeah. Right before we kind of hit the record button, we actually spent, I think, 30 minutes sitting here kind of discussing what races we wanted to do next year. And the funny part is we were kind of trying to figure out what we want to do in October, November, December. And I was like, it's funny, we're sitting here trying to debate what we want to do at the end of next year, and we have no idea what we're going to be doing kind of between February and October.
Right.
We're just kind of worried about the end of the year where it seems like there's a bunch of races that we kind of want to do. So
it seems like it's going to be a little bit more, it could be busier, more crowded, like in the fall, winter of next year. So we're trying to kind of plan things out
right.
and see what we want to do.
And that's just for us, the kind of the races that we've eyeballed, I guess you could say,
mm-hmm.
kind of all around the same time. So. Speaking of races coming up, Disneyland Half Marathon, which is, the date is official, is September 1st. Now, the date's not a surprise because it's always Labor Day weekend, right?
Right.
But registration will open on January 22nd, 2013. So that's a race we're eyeballing because we are doing Goofy.
Yes.
In Florida. So to get that coast-to-coast medal.
Bling.
Seems like a good time to do the Disneyland half.
Right.
So I think that's something we'll probably end up registering for. Also, although I was a little bit surprised. I don't know why I was surprised, but I guess the price.
I was surprised. I mean, I didn't expect it to be cheap, but I was surprised by the cost.
Yeah, $175.
Yeah, yikes.
As long as you register before February 19th. So,
gosh.
Yeah, we totally shouldn't be surprised by that, but it just seems like
a lot for
day one of registration, mm-hmm. jumping in at $175.
It's like early registration.
And I'm assuming that doesn't account. I'm assuming that doesn't include entry to the park, but I have no idea.
I would think it wouldn't. I mean, we're not getting entry to any of the parks in Disney World included,
right.
and that was not a cheap registration price either for Goofy. Right. So
that's coming. What else we got going on? Ragnar announced, I think like a week ago, 5 days ago, they announced for kind of their original race, which is Ragnar Wasatch Back in Utah. It's that race's 10th anniversary. It's kind of the race that started everything for them.
Mm-hmm.
They've actually opened up more registration spots.
For next year.
And the way they did that is Ragnar's typically a Friday to Saturday thing.
Mm-hmm.
So most teams, you start on Friday morning or Friday afternoon if you're super fast.
Yeah.
And you finish Saturday afternoon, most teams. They're actually going to open up. They've opened up spots for Thursday start times. And then you would finish on Friday.
Right.
So kind of cool. The whole race is going to be going on from Thursday through Saturday. Now, I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do with start times. I'm assuming they'll start a bunch, you know, that Thursday morning, afternoon, and then there'll be nothing starting throughout the night.
That would be crazy if they had like a 2 a.m. start time or like a 11:30 p.m., you know, Thursday night start time.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, the one thing that they've kind of advertised with it, and I actually totally agree with, is the fact that if you get one of these Thursday start times, you do the race on Thursday, Friday, kind of leaves you Saturday and Sunday to enjoy or sightsee in Utah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of nice.
Or visit somebody or whatever.
Yeah, because, you know, normally, you know, Ragnar's a Friday and Saturday, so you finish kind of Saturday night and, you know, you might do your post-race dinner with your team or, you know, if you're local, you'll head straight home. But otherwise, it's either you're flying home Saturday night or at the best, you're just staying kind of the one extra day.
Mm-hmm. All you really have is Sunday.
Right. Whereas this one, you're finishing, hey, you still have your Friday night to kind of do your post-race dinner with your team and stuff. And then you have all day Saturday to go check out whatever there is
you want
to check out. And then, you know, you still would have half a Sunday and then you can fly home Sunday if you flew in, you know, assuming you're not local. So I actually wish they would think the Thursday, Friday thing is better if you're not a local.
I agree.
For these races, you know, I think it sucks if you are local because you're kind of having to take, you know, for most people, 2 days off of work. But
yeah.
But if you're already going to have to travel, you know, drive far or fly, I think coming in for Thursday, Friday race and then Saturday, Sunday to enjoy the weekend, I think is actually a really cool thing.
So, kind of make the most of your time if you're flying somewhere.
Yeah. And Ragnar, Utah is kind of one of their most popular races.
Yeah, it sells out quick.
Super quick. It's actually one of the toughest also. So
yeah.
Yeah. What else? Other races. Lotteries. Western States 100, which is kind of the granddaddy of ultra running, had their lottery this past weekend. So I won't go through all the details of that.
They did stream it live. I was watching.
Yeah, I was watching
just for no particular reason. I was just watching part of it. So it was just kind of interesting to see them call the people up when they pick their name out of the
and go up there.
The big, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people actually go to the lottery and kind of to see if they get picked and kind of do the thing, you know, get your name called and go on stage and all that kind of stuff. So
okay, so the cool thing is about when they were picking names out, you know, they would say, you know, if somebody had participated in Western States before, they'd pull the name out and say 3-time loser or, you know, 4-time loser, you know, Jane Doe from like San Francisco, California. So I just thought it was pretty funny that they would say like, you know, 3-time loser or 2-time loser. I don't know. Just, you know.
Yeah, that was actually hilarious when they were doing it. I got a kick out of that. So yeah, I won't go through kind of who's in and who's out, and a lot of people like qualify from past results and stuff, but I'll actually include in the show notes an article over at irunfar.com who kind of goes through, they go kind of go through everything and say who's in, who's out, big names who aren't in yet might still need a race to kind of get the automatic qualification for it.
Yeah, we were talking about some of the big names that we hadn't heard were in yet.
That
I know of. I mean, I definitely don't know a lot of
big names.
Yeah,
we were talking
about
Hal Koerner. I thought he wasn't in, but then I went back and reread the article and I think he is in. So, and that's based on, I think, on a past performance that he automatically got in. But
maybe I need to reread that then.
Yeah, I need to also because I think I missed that the first time through.
Maybe the big names I thought weren't in are actually in just from past, from other races.
That they've won or placed high enough. So other races I wanted to mention was there's a new race actually coming to California. It's called the Gold Rush 100K.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of noticeable because it's put on by the Sacramento Running Association, which is actually the same people that put on CIM. So kind of a group that we're familiar with, and they do a great job with CIM. So it's kind of cool them entering a little bit further distance, I guess you could say.
I know a lot of people in the area, you know, in the Sacramento area were pretty excited.
Were they? I didn't see any of the reactions to it. So.
Oh, okay.
So people were kind of thumbs up.
Yeah. I think it was kind of unexpected, you know, because they do put on other races, but definitely shorter distances.
Mm-hmm.
I think they do like, you know, 10Ks, 10-milers,
right.
Half marathons. I think CIM is the only marathon that they have.
And their longest race overall.
Yeah. So I think it was a little surprising, but I think people are excited about the 100K. I would sign up for it if I could do the distance, but
Me too, actually.
I can't at this point.
I can't come anywhere close to it. So
yeah, did we say when it is? I don't remember when it is. Actually,
no, we didn't.
Okay,
so
maybe that's why we didn't say it.
I was going to say the event will run from, this is from their website, will run from historic Sutter's Mill in Coloma, California, and follow the same path of the gold miners to Sutter's Fort in Sacramento. So it's kind of where they get the name, the Gold Rush 100K.
I think it's a pretty cool name.
Yeah, I think it's cool. And the website is up and it's kind of ready to go. And like I said, we haven't read all the details, including apparently we don't know when the date is.
It's May 11th. There I just pulled it up.
I was going to say May, but...
I wanted to say May too, but I wasn't sure.
So if you're training for your 5K and you'd like to jump straight to 100K, you've got 6 months to do it. Although we don't recommend that at all.
Yeah, I don't recommend it. But if you're going to do it anyways, come check out this inaugural race.
Yeah. So speaking of ultra running, mm-hmm. as we just kind of crossed the topic, there's another race in California called Way Too Cool 50K.
Yeah.
Which is kind of pretty popular for a lot of long distance trail runners here in California.
It's in Cool, California.
Which is hence
That's
name.
Actually the name
Way
of the place.
Way Too Cool.
Yeah.
Which is a totally, I don't want to say a cool place to live, but it's got to be an awesome place to live if you do live in Cool, California. But that's kind of up in the foothills there. So I don't know how many people actually live there.
Like 5. No, could, really, I have no idea.
Could possibly be. It's actually right near Auburn. Actually, some of the trails on Way Too Cool actually share same trails as the Western States 100.
Yeah, I just learned that today.
So a lot of people kind of do Way Too Cool as a lead up to Western States, mm-hmm. a chance to familiarize themselves with a little bit of the course, actually. I don't know kind of what portion of the course it covers or anything like that. But I bring up Way Too Cool 50K because somebody I know is going to be doing it. And so that person is?
Me.
There you go.
Yeah.
So you actually had to enter a lottery to get into Way Too Cool because it's a pretty popular race.
Yeah, I had to enter it last week. So I think day two of my marathon recovery.
So your marathon recovery didn't even include signing up for a marathon. It included signing up for a 50K.
Yes, a distance I've... Well, I guess technically I've completed that distance, but not an official 50K.
Yeah, you did the 50K at Dirty Dozen, which was a timed endurance event. So mm-hmm. 6 hour time limit, you did do the 50K
right.
in that period of time.
Yes.
So still a 50K, but kind of not a typical 50K.
Right. 50K not an official race. 50K race.
Right.
Yeah.
So you found out actually this morning via email that you got
that
in.
I got in.
Via the lottery. So.
Yeah.
So how excited are you?
I'm pretty excited and just as equally scared and terrified.
I was going to say, how nervous are you?
I'm not too nervous. Just kind of, I think, just the fear of the unknown again. You know, an unknown distance. Mm-hmm. I haven't run an unknown distance in a while. You
right.
know, officially.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, you know, 5Ks, 10Ks, half marathons. You know, this was my third CIM. So even though it was only my third CIM, it was still a distance I was familiar with. So 50K is kind of an unknown.
Although it's got to help that you actually did do 50K at the Dirty Dozen.
Yes.
Even though, you know, it's kind of a timed event and a little bit different because you're doing loop.
Yeah, and the elevation
change.
And,
yeah, the elevation's
is
a lot
really
easier.
Like,
but I mean, at least you know you've covered the distance.
Right, right.
Unlike,
yeah, it does make me feel a little bit better.
Yeah. So, and that's actually in March?
Yes. So I have 13 weeks to train. Yikes.
Which is kind of crazy, except for the fact you did just do a marathon.
Yeah.
So you're obviously kind of up to a long run of 26 miles, and you did pretty much race it in crappy conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So outside of the fact
was,
that you need to recover.
But it was flat and kind of, well, relatively flat in comparison.
True.
And in a downhill.
And the wind was at, no, I don't know.
And I was on roller skates, no.
No, but I mean, last year you did do a lot more. You know, we talked a lot about last year, this year. About,
you keep wanting to fast forward or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm getting thrown off here being in December. So at some
you think
point
the year's
in time,
over?
I think it's 2013, and then sometimes I'm still stuck in 2012.
Depending.
So.
No, I know what you're going to say, but I do feel better having done several trail half marathons.
Right.
Even though, okay, half marathon, you know, 13 miles comparison to 30, but I do feel a lot better having done, I don't know what it was, 4, 5, or 6
mm-hmm.
trail half marathons this year.
And some of those are pretty tough.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I haven't looked at the elevation for what Way Too Cool is, but
right.
I'm pretty excited. Yeah. So something to look forward to. I guess you were saying that you're going to have to sit down maybe after we're done with this to figure out your training plan.
Yes.
For the next 13 weeks.
Right. Because now, I mean, if I wouldn't have gotten in, I would have needed to figure out my training plan between now and Goofy mm-hmm. just to kind of maintain.
I kind of forgot we had Goofy in the middle of this.
Yeah. So now I'm trying to, what I need to do is just kind of mentally shift and say, okay, you know, Way Too Cool is kind of the A race mm-hmm. for me. And so how am I going to fit Goofy into that and whatever else I'm signed up for in between? You know, how's that going to fit into my training plan?
So, I mean, I would assume now you got to approach Goofy as, I guess, a long run, the marathon.
They're just going to be back-to-back long runs.
Long runs,
which most 50K training plans that I've looked at, even though there's not a lot out there in comparison to marathon training plans, they basically are kind of back-to-back, like one really long run, and then the second one is like a kind of a long run.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to treat it that way.
Yeah, I think throwing that in there is actually going to kind of be a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, maybe the travel will throw you off a little bit, but
yeah.
But yeah, no, that's exciting and cool.
No, I'm excited.
I think, I don't know if Way Too Cool used to be, and I haven't looked at the course, it used to be, or it was this past year, it's like an 8 mile loop.
Yes.
So you go from the start line, you go out and do this 8 mile loop, and then you go back to the start line, and then you go back out for a
23 mile loop,
although that comes out to 31 miles, but isn't a 5K 30?
Is it a 5K
30? I'm sorry, a 50K. I'm really screwed up today.
Yeah, a 50K is 31.07.
Oh, okay. I kept thinking 30 miles. Bad math, remember?
Yeah. Yeah, so it's an 8 mile loop and then a 23 mile loop.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of cool that actually on this race, you actually get to go out and then kind of come back to the start line. So
right, and you're not doing like a 31 mile loop.
All out there kind of by yourself, just through the aid stations and stuff. So
it'll be interesting. So you guys get to hear about my lead up to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be kind
of
crazy.
We'll see how it goes.
No, that's exciting. So, good luck.
Thanks.
Way in advance.
I don't know if that was genuine or not.
No, it was totally genuine. That was kind of a good luck and, ooh, that's a lot of training you're going to have to be doing. But, but you would be running a lot anyways, so.
Right. That kind of just gives me a focus, a different goal than what I've had before.
Because I think even if you hadn't gotten to Way Too Cool, I think Goofy, I don't think you would have been running it as like your A race or shooting for a time. I think we're going to Goofy just to kind of have fun, take pictures.
Complete
the challenge, which I might say I'm getting a little bit worried about.
Are you?
Yeah, it seems like a lot of mileage, but so I guess that's kind of like what's going on this week. Man, there's a lot of like new stuff and a lot of race information kind of to run through, but
it kind of felt like we were just in like a little CIM hole or CIM cave for a while. Mm-hmm. Where like, you know, all we were thinking about or, you know, just kind of dealing with was all like kind of CIM related. Mm-hmm. So now I think we kind of like came out of the cave and okay, what's going on? What else is going on, you know, in the rest of the running world? So.
Well, and I think a lot of this, I was looking up a lot of races this past week and even the week leading up to CIM, just kind of trying to get a plan for next year. I was actually talking to somebody this weekend who's kind of laughing at me because I was talking about the fact that I wanted to do Big Sur in 2014. And they were kind of laughing because like, wait a minute, you're already planning like your 2014 races? And I'm like, well, you kind of have to because so many of these races, you know, racing is becoming, you know, running in general so much more popular that these big races sell out way in advance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, registration opens maybe 9-10 months in advance. And if it sells out in a month, you have to plan things out a year in advance.
Right. Or Big Sur, which sold out like way, way quicker than that.
Yeah.
It's like if it's going to be an event that you really want to do and it's a very popular one, then you kind of do need to have it on your radar this far in advance.
Yeah. Because I really want to do Big Sur in 2014. So, I mean, I can't do it in 2013 because it's already filled up and sold out and all that stuff. And so 2014 is just the next logical chance that I can do it.
Right.
Which I got to start looking up. When do they open? Well, they can't open registration before April anyway. So.
No, I think you're good until at least Big Sur 2013 happens.
Yeah. I almost feel like I have to start filling in my calendar with not just races, but like when registration opens.
Yeah.
For
so you don't
races.
Miss it.
Yeah. So
this is like a full-time job.
All right. So let's step back into kind of how our weeks went. So this was our first week post CIM.
Mm-hmm.
First of the recovery week. Why don't you kind of start us off with how your week went? So race on Sunday, CIM 26.2.
Yeah.
And then you ran again on
Thursday.
Okay.
Did I? Yeah.
I know you ran on Thursday because we ran together.
But right.
I wasn't actually sure if you ran before that or not.
I didn't. That was my first run after the race. We ran
two and a quarter, I think.
Yeah, 2.25. So legs felt pretty good. Like there was no soreness or anything left. I think probably like by Wednesday night or Thursday morning, soreness was pretty much gone. But I know when we went out for that run, like they just felt tired. Like they just kind of felt like I had already run, you know, like I was already starting at like mile 8 or something, or mile 10 or even further, you know, and it was like, okay, no, I really just started like half a block ago. So they just felt tired, felt like more easily winded,
mm-hmm.
just more fatigued.
Yeah.
And then Friday, did I run Friday? I did run Friday. I ran Friday morning. So probably not the best thing to run like Thursday evening and then Friday morning. But
back to back.
Yeah, but I actually felt pretty good Friday morning and I ran 4 miles. I was actually going to do a little bit longer, but I started having problems with my piriformis again. So I backed off. I'm like, it's not worth, you know, having some sort of injury or something. I'll just rest some more. And then on Saturday, I went out and did 6 miles. Felt pretty good with the 6 miles. My plan was to do a little bit longer run on Sunday, but I kind of woke up a little bit later than I planned, started doing stuff that I had kind of neglected, you know, the previous like 2 weeks or week and a half, and just didn't get out for a run. But I was actually okay with that. I didn't feel bad or guilty
about it.
Yeah. So I ended up doing, I think, like just over 12 miles for the whole week, which is probably kind of a record low for me.
I was going to say, that's got to be the lowest you've had.
I don't know how long.
The entire year? Maybe?
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it felt good.
What felt good? It just kind of being able to rest a little bit, or yeah, having some free time?
Having some free time. But you know what? I really wasn't, you would think having all this free time or extra time that I would have like gotten all this stuff accomplished. I would have been really productive. I really wasn't. I was kind of like, just like a lazy bum, you know? Uh-huh. I mean, obviously I went to work and everything, but you know, just as far as like other stuff, like outside of work, I was not that productive. I was kind of lazy and I slept quite a bit every night, which felt great. I think one night I might have like slept too much, you know, where you get to that point where you're like, oh, I just feel more tired. I think I slept way too much. I should have gotten up like an hour earlier or an hour and a half earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But I did do 1 day of weight training. No bike, no spinning. I need to get back to that. But
what day did you do that anyway?
Which one? The weight training?
The weight training.
Friday.
Oh, okay. So basically, I did nothing until Thursday.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
And Thursday was Thursday evening.
Thursday evening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my short week. How was your week?
Very similar.
Yeah.
Just shorter, I guess. So yeah, like you said, Thursday we kind of went out together to do that 2 1/4, which was funny because I felt good for like a quarter mile.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, okay, I'm really beat now. It's like, I'm tired from running a quarter mile. This is kind of weird. But I mean, I guess I felt okay. We ran really slow for that 2 1/4, and that was because of me, because I was just really slow. And it's just that, you know, you got that overall sense of just kind of feeling a little bit beat up from doing the marathon, I think.
Yeah.
What it was, you know, kind of, like you said, a little bit more out of breath than you would normally be, for sure, I guess. I kind of felt like a couple twinges in my legs in certain places. My right shin kind of hurt a little bit, which was not good, but I'm not too worried about it. I'm just kind of chalking that up to the marathon. That was my Thursday, and then I ran again on Sunday, which I went out in the afternoon. The funny thing was Saturday night to Sunday, I slept like 9 hours, which is really unusual. I actually slept till like 9 a.m. in the morning, which is really crazy for me. So I don't know what happened there. I didn't do anything necessarily on Saturday to make me that tired.
Run a marathon.
No, I didn't. You know, Saturday was kind of a lazy day, if anything. So I don't know why I needed 9 hours sleep, but that's, you know, didn't set the alarm or anything. And that's just happened to be when I woke up. And, you know, I'm normally up at 7 or 7:30, you know, that's sleeping in on the weekends, really. So that was kind of very strange for me and weird. But, and then like you, I think I was kind of lazy on Sunday, and then ended up going out Sunday afternoon and did another, I think I did like 2 1/4. Ran it. Actually, my speed was actually pretty good, but a little bit of pain in my right shin again. So a little bit worse than Thursday. So I'm not worried about that at this point, but hopefully that doesn't continue. Hopefully I didn't do anything. I will say that kind of I have created what is going to be my training plan for Goofy. So kind of these 6 weeks that we have in between CIM and Goofy. And I'll admit that I was totally unrealistic on what I was going to do this past week. And I don't know what in the world I was thinking I was going to do, because I had on my schedule that I was going to run Thursday, Saturday, and then Sunday, and somehow still get in. I think I had myself chalked up for like 15 or 18 miles for the week. So,
wow.
Which is totally unrealistic when I end up doing 4.5 for the week. But I think I kind of feel a little bit of pressure to kind of get back to running really soon.
Yeah.
Just because of Goofy.
Right.
Like 6 weeks, I need to get to that. And I don't want to lose too much fitness. But I guess it's important to kind of recover first and then kind of maintain the training and then carry that into Goofy.
Yeah. I think it's more important to recover and not push it.
Yeah.
This early on.
So a real crazy week, just because I kind of missed what I thought I was going to be doing by so many miles. But like I said, I was totally unrealistic on what I needed to do.
Yeah.
And I think you were laughing at me because I would normally take more time to recover from a half.
Yeah.
Than kind of what I had planned to recover.
And I was looking at your plan and I'm like, you normally run way less than this after a half marathon. Mm-hmm. Like, you might want to rethink some of this. So
yeah, not the best laid plan, but I'm going to adjust. I actually need to.
That's right. I mean, tomorrow. It's a plan. It's, right. You know, it's obviously, you know, it gets changed all the time. So,
and actually if I wasn't doing Goofy, I probably would have taken the entire week without any running whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Not because I felt so bad or anything like that. It just kind of seems like, you know, it's the kind of the best time to rest, really. It's kind of that week after the marathon.
Right.
You know, take a week completely off and then kind of slowly, you know, maybe take the next 2 weeks and kind of build back up to running and training again and then kind of move on to the next thing. But like I said, a little bit of pressure just because we got 6 weeks.
So, I mean, you've already completed like a marathon distance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're going to be doing that again for Goofy. Is it just the fact that you have to do the half the day before that's like really making you feel pressured to get more miles in? Is that?
I guess so. It's the back-to-back thing.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not one to really like to run back-to-back days, period. Like, I don't like to go run 4 miles and 4 miles back-to-back. And I'm going to be doing 13 and 26.
Yeah.
So, but like I said, you know, Goofy's going to be kind of just a fun thing. Plan on taking it really slow, you know, as slow as I need to kind of just get through it, you know. I got to look up what the cutoff time. I think it's 7 hours.
I think so.
I think we said that last week or the week before or something like that. So as long as I finish both of those, I'm happy. I don't care what my time is, but I still feel like I need to be training for that because it's so close, you know?
But you have back-to-back days planned or in your plan.
Right.
Saturday, Sundays, I think, right?
Leading up to it?
Yeah, leading up to it.
Yeah, my plan right now is actually to kind of shift to running Tuesday, Thursdays, Saturday, Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of to practice the back-to-back thing on the weekends. And then, you know, I struggled through training for CIM with getting runs in during the week. So I'm not even going to bother putting like 3 weekday runs on my schedule.
Just stick to the two.
Because I'm not going to have time for it. Mm-hmm. I'm just not going to get around to it. Yeah. So why create a plan that I know I can't follow through?
True.
On.
It's gotta be realistic.
Yeah. So as long as I don't have any pain issues or physical issues with Saturday, Sunday back-to-back runs, I have plenty of time to do it. So it's not a time issue at all.
Yeah.
So it should be easier. So, I mean, my plan, like I said, is Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday leading up to Goofy, and then if that works out, I think that's going to be kind of my permanent running schedule.
And just adjusting mileage.
Just adjusting mileage for whatever race kind of is coming up or anything like that. So that
makes sense. I like the Saturday, Sunday back-to-back, but that's
Something you do a lot anyways.
Yeah.
So, I mean, for Goofy, you're not worried about the back-to-back days at all anyway.
No.
Yeah. That's a little bit of my thing, so.
I mean, I still think I'm a little worried that it's 13 and 26. You know, like that's like, oh, 26, oh my gosh, you know. But I have to remind myself, like, okay, I'm going to be going. My plan is to go significantly slower for both of those distances than I would go at a regular race. Like, I'm not racing them, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to remind myself, I know I can complete the distance, and I'm going to just have to make sure I start off slower and take my time and take pictures and enjoy it.
Right.
And not feel pressured to, you know, run this great race.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I'm a little nervous, but not too worried about the back-to-back, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. So we're going to continue with our recovery. You know, we should say, you know, marathon recovery is, I think it should be kind of a 3 week process that you look at, kind of almost look at it like a reverse taper from what you did leading up to the marathon. You know, kind of the old school rule from 30, 40 years ago. Maybe, yeah, it's got to be like, yeah, the 70s and 80s was, you know, you would take as many days to recover as miles that you ran.
Right. So for like for the marathon, you would take 26 days off, I guess, of running.
Right.
After the marathon.
So 3 weeks of recovery.
Right.
And I think that's a pretty good rule of thumb. That doesn't mean to me anyways, for me, it wouldn't be 3 weeks of no running, but 3 weeks of kind of slowly, you know, spend that first week, kind of take your days off, and then you slowly, you know, kind of start working in the mileage, slow runs. No hard running, no hard racing for 3 weeks kind of thing.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't necessarily agree with like the 26 days off completely, but just kind of taking that time to build back up, you know, kind of doing like a modified version of what you've been doing before.
Right.
So yeah, don't just jump right into things, you know, a week later, like, you know, full force again, but kind of taking that time to build back up to maybe where you were before.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably a pretty good rule of thumb, 3 weeks. So then for a half marathon, it'd be about 2 weeks.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess it's all relative too to what you're used to running mileage wise too.
Yeah, I think for a half, I would only, you know, I guess my usual thing would be like kind of, you know, a week of serious recovery.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think we've done like a lot of, didn't we do a few back, not back to back, but half marathons like 2 weeks apart? You've done 1 day apart, but.
Yeah, I think we've done a couple.
But I think I did that once or twice, and it was, you know, it's fine to me doing halves kind of like 2 weeks apart.
Yeah.
Anything sooner is kind of a little tough, but.
Right.
Yeah. So I really think for me, for like a half is, you know, kind of a 2 week recovery, or it was really like a 1 week and then, you know, wait another week to race, but.
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of jump back in there, I guess. But it depends, you know, it depends on your body and kind of depends on the training level that you're at.
Right. And so. Depends on the half that you do too.
True. Not all halves are created equal.
Right. I know I was looking over some like recovery things. I was just curious, you know, because I never really paid that much attention into recovery other than just resting, you know, and then kind of easing back into like workouts and running and that sort of thing. But I was looking at like nutrition stuff too, just kind of looking at that, you know, like, you know, getting carbs back in, protein, trying not to, you know, completely eat horrible, which I have to say, I have to admit, I didn't eat very well the last week.
I will cop to the fact that I ate horrible this past week also. And unfortunately, I kind of used the marathon as my excuse.
Yeah, so, I think I did too. Guilty. And I need to not do that in the future. Yeah. You know, cut myself some slack, but right. Not like, okay, you know, the whole week, like 7 days later, I'm eating these cookies or, you know, whatever it is. Okay, really? Yeah, you don't really need cookies, you know, 7 days later as part of your recovery plan. If you're eating cookies, it's because you just want to eat cookies or whatever it is.
Are you telling me I can't use like, I just ran a marathon as like excuse to eat whatever I want for the next
year?
6 months?
No.
That's a bummer.
I mean, you could try.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just looking at stuff like that. And you're talking about like sleep too. You know, you're talking about that, you know, that being important to kind of make sure you don't, you know, cut yourself short on the sleeping, which I think is important even when you're training too, to make sure that you try to get enough sleep. And I know everybody's different too on the amount of sleep. I don't really know how much sleep I need, like, mm-hmm. normally, but I know I don't do well with, like, you know, I'm not a 5 hour person. I definitely right. can't like function on, you know, 5 hours a night every night. I definitely don't need like 9 by any means, so I'm somewhere in between. But, you know, definitely trying to get the amount of sleep that you need during your training too, and then especially after a race like a marathon. Did you come across any other interesting things with recovery?
No, my favorite thing was, and I'll kind of read them off real quick, assuming I can pull it up.
Oh, is that like the 5 tips or something?
No, I had this one person had 7 tips on recovering from a marathon.
Oh, okay, that's
kind of half serious, half joking, I would assume. Number 1, drink adult beverages. Number 2 was eat crappy food.
Okay, I got number 2 down. Got number 2 down.
Yeah, I had number 2. 3 yeah. was sleep.
Got that one.
4 was don't run for 1 week.
Almost had that one.
Almost. We did the 4 thing, yeah. 4 days thing. But like I said, if I didn't have Goofy, I think I would have gone 7 days without it. 5 was get a massage.
Oh, you know what? I didn't do that this year.
Yeah. We just realized
almost,
that.
Yeah, right I was now. Just going to mention that. I forgot.
So you just, would you have done it had you remembered?
I don't know. I don't think so. I was kind of curious to see what my legs felt like without the massage. Because the last 2 years I've had it the day after the marathon. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do it this year. I don't know that my legs felt any worse, really. I don't know.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
I think it's funny we didn't think about the massage thing until right now. Number 6 was sign up for another marathon.
Which almost
done. You signed up for a 50K. Right. I mean, we're already signed up for Goofy. So, like I said before, I think I'm kind of a nut in that I signed up for my second marathon before I finished the first one.
Yeah, that's brave.
So, that's kind of crazy. But, you know, I guess the good question is, you know, am I going to do more marathons outside of Goofy? And I think for me, the answer is yes.
I think you're going to do at least one more.
I think I'll do at least 2 more for sure.
Because I think
I want to do Big Sur.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah.
And then I think I definitely want to do another one after Goofy later on this year to kind of give it another.
Next year.
Jeez.
So now you think it's 2019.
I'm really screwed up. I really want to do one.
In 2013.
In 2013, somewhere between, you know, January and December there.
Got it.
Kind of give it a fair shake at doing one outside of a storm.
Right, right. And, with some decent weather.
With some decent weather and kind of have that experience. And kind of something outside of the Disney experience that we're going to have at Disney World. Because I don't think that's kind of like a normal marathon running either. Yeah. So I'm definitely going to give it another shot. Still thinking about maybe Chicago's possibility
mm-hmm.
at the end of the
I've
year.
I've been eyeing that one too.
Yeah, so Chicago's a possibility, but I don't know. It's also possible we just come back and do CIM again.
Right.
So I don't know, but I definitely, you know, I said I kind of needed to give myself a week after the first marathon to kind of decide if that's you know, marathons are my thing or not my thing. You know, I'm definitely not going to be doing them every month, but I definitely going to have a couple more in the future. Like I said, one of, you know, in 2013, got the year right at some point. And then 2014, for sure, I really want to do Big Sur just because that seems like a totally awesome race to do just kind of along the coast and stuff. And we've talked about that before. So,
but you don't see yourself being somebody who has to do like a bunch of marathons every year at this point? Or not has to, but wants to.
It's, you know, I don't think so. I mean, I don't need to do six a year or anything like that.
Yeah.
I think kind of, you know, the typical strategy for a lot of people is, you know, you kind of do your spring and your fall marathon, kind of two a year is kind of a good way to do it because you have time to, you can do a marathon. You spend 2 months kind of recovering and taking time off, relaxing, right, running shorter distances. And then you kind of start your training and you kind of do a 4 month lead up until the next one. And that's, to me, it kind of seems like the best way to do it.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get excited and you kind of want to do races. And I think we both love to do races. So it's kind of, you know, in my eyeing of, I should say, in eyeing Chicago, which is October.
Yes.
And see, I am in December. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, I'm doing Goofy in January. I'm like, I can easily slide in another marathon like in May. Because then, you know, that's like 4 months after Goofy. And then I would have 4 or 5 months to train up for Chicago or even more time for CIM. So
you would just have to find one.
I've actually had a really hard time trying to find
a
marathon kind of in the middle of the year that I really want to do. So,
yeah.
But I'm still researching and looking at that all the time. So, I should say number 7 on the list was shop. Don't ask me why.
Interesting.
On that recovery thing. Hmm. So 6 was signed up for another marathon, 6, 7 shop. I don't know.
I've done some shopping, but it's more because it's like holiday season and I've had to get like Christmas gifts. So I don't think it was necessarily part of my recovery.
Well, it's either if you're sitting at home recovering and you can just shop online, or going to the mall and just kind of walking around is probably good after a marathon anyways.
True.
Because you don't want to be tied to your couch for very long,
mm-hmm.
you know, or actually you shouldn't be at all because your body just stiffens up, you know, if it's like the next day or same day type
right,
of thing.
Right.
So walking around and shopping might be a good thing. So those are their kind of 7 oddball tips on recovery.
I think that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's a new take on marathon recovery.
Yeah. So anything else you want to say on recovery? Otherwise, I think we're going to be almost at the point to wrap it up.
I don't have anything else on the recovery.
Yeah, I think next week we'll kind of share a little bit about maybe what our plans are training between CIM and Goofy.
Okay, good. That'll give me some time to figure out what my training plans are between.
Well, I'll mention it next week, but I give you a book that maybe has a good plan for you to follow. So, and I can say I'm going to probably be looking at Hal Higdon to get me to Goofy from mm-hmm. here to Goofy. So. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say?
Nope, I got nothing.
Let's wrap it up. We'll go a little bit shorter this week. I know we went really long talking about CIM last week.
So. Give you guys a break this time around. All right, so the website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. From there, you can head over to our Facebook page or go directly to facebook.com/embracerunning. You can send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com. That's going to do it for this week. So until next time, keep running.